As we wait for more details on what President Trump plans to do on immigration, it's worth noting that more than 741,000 immigrants became naturalized U.S. citizens last year. Political commentator Andrew Sullivan was one of them. He writes about it in the latest issue of New York Magazine, where he's a contributing editor, and he joins us via Skype. And Andrew, this piece that you've written is in many ways a love letter to America. One of the things that you point out is that in your home country, the UK, it felt to you like the finest hour was in the past, but you didn't feel that way here.
Well, I came over, believe it or not, during the Ronald Reagan re-election, and it was such an optimistic, forward-looking time in America. And you grow up in England, and you can't help when you grow up there, and I grew up there in the 1970s, to see the decay all around you, to see an obvious national decline, which has shifted since, but that's what I grew up in. And to be born into the assumption, the national assumption, that our finest hour as a country was 1940, the Battle of Britain, and somehow we'll never regain that clarity or that courage or that nobility. And I think coming here, one felt the future was still open, that people were still optimistic, that they were still creating something that they hoped would be better than it had ever been before. And that's been true here, even though I think at the moment, and the Trump administration has made it rather poignant with its ramped up fear and sense of decline.
Well, and I want to get to your thoughts on the Trump administration, but you also talk in this piece about sort of how surprised and happy you are when you see people from all different backgrounds. You describe the boardwalk in Venice and Santa Monica with people of all races skateboarding and biking along the boardwalk, which I think is something that a lot of Americans take for granted, that you go to a dinner party and you may have people that come from all different countries, which is something that in other places you really don't see as often.
No, you don't. It's invigorating. I mean, for the minute I got here, the sheer diversity of people, the sheer variety of ways of life that I felt is pretty unique to this country. And to me, just a real invitation to curiosity, to openness, to being a better human being, actually. And I understand why some of that difference can be alienating at times, especially that we've had this huge surge of immigration in the last 30 years. So I see that fear here, but I was hoping with this essay to say, look past the fear and see the extraordinary dynamism and variety and diversity of this country as a strength, and see these differences as a way of figuring out what's best for human life in the future. And that, I think, is what America has always been, this great experiment.
All right. Well, that brings us to the Trump administration. And I want to listen to what you told us in October when we last spoke.
I'm terrified. I really believe that one of the candidates, Donald Trump, is a unique threat to peace in the world, to civil peace in this country, and possibly to our entire liberal democratic system.
You said that for you, this election was life and death for the Republic. Do you still feel that way?
I'm afraid I do. And the first week has been incredibly chilling and dark from the inaugural speech on. And the personality of this person who is now president revealed is so unstable, so impetuous and impulsive, so completely immune to learning anything, so rigid in his assumptions, which are based upon really what I think is a very distorted view of what the state of the world is and what the state of America is. I'll be honest with you, it's been hard to get up in the mornings. I love this country so much. To see so many of its finest traditions and norms and procedures and dignity violated on a daily basis, just all I can say is I'm feeling a kind of grief. I felt it a lot of last year when it was more like dread. Unlike a lot of people, I really thought he could win and felt that people were deluding themselves into thinking that this was an impossibility. And it gives me absolutely no pleasure to discover that I was probably right about that. And it gives me even less pleasure to see the darkest strains within America. I mean, this is the other thing I wrote about in the essay, is that America is this giant contradiction. It is everything I said about the future, but it is also deep down paranoid and afraid. And the fight, the struggle between those two forces of the very best and the very worst kind of defines this country's evolution. And I fear that we've just gone from what I believe to be the very best to what I also fear is the very worst. I don't think I've ever felt this way in my lifetime. I think this is different. And I really do think that in some ways it's a very deep crisis in the Republic that we are only just beginning to absorb.
Well, why do you think that he won then? Why was he able to convince enough voters around the country to vote for him to win the presidency?
Because fear is a very powerful weapon in political life. And there are buttons that you can press in politics, buttons of racial identity, buttons of nationalist fear, buttons of xenophobia, that most responsible politicians do not press. And I think also in a time of, for many people, extreme economic insecurity caused by globalization in part, I think the extraordinary shift in the demographics of the country, the ethnic demographics of the country, I mean, this would be, if we project forwards, the first white majority country ever to become a non-white majority country. That's a panic. There's an economic panic, there's a social panic, there's a racial panic, and he tapped right into it. Now, these things have, you know, there have been panics before in this country. There have been huge immigration crackdowns. You know, the proportion of the population that's foreign born now is close to its historic peak, which is in the 1890s. About nearly 15% of the entire population is foreign born. That's a lot for a country to digest. At the same time that the world economy is forcing Americans, especially those without college education, to really compete hard with many people from around the world. And they'll put all that together and add a tincture of, I will take care of you. I will fix everything. America first. And of course, you get a strong showing from this person. Even so, it wasn't a majority. So we're evenly balanced here. But at the same time, he has all the instruments of government at his disposal. And the opposition has very little, except now the free press. And that, of course, is something that Trump, as all authoritarians do, despises.
Well, that brings us to my last question for you, which is last time we talked to you, you were talking about how you wanted to break your addiction to online information, especially the nonstop yes. news about the presidential campaign. Have you stuck to that, or are you back to consuming news at all times?
Look, my goal was to, because I blogged every day for 15 years, meant multiple times a day, was to get sane again and to leave political journalism and to write about faith and to chill out a little bit. But look, history happens, and this is not something, I'm afraid, that any responsible political writer or writer at all can sit out. The question is, how do you cover this without going crazy yourself? So I'm trying not to get completely sucked in to the crazy news cycle we're in, but at the same time, I have to be part of this. I have to contribute. It's my duty. I took an oath when I became a citizen to defend the Constitution. And I will do my best, however flawed I may be, to do my now patriotic duty. And that means pursuing the truth, insisting on its validity, and opposing overreach of executive power and of authoritarianism. And however we can do that, slowly, empirically, calmly, relentlessly, we should do it.
That's Andrew Sullivan, contributing editor of New York Magazine. We'll link you to his piece at hereandnow.org. He's also a new citizen of the United States. Andrew, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.